where Stamford comes first for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So joining us right now is an old dear friend of mine, Dave Ackert. And we go back a long way. Dave, do you know that we go back 33 years? I know that you probably cannot believe that. And Dave was one of the first people after Sandy Hook happened, because he lives there, lives frankly around the corner from where the Lanzas were, or close to it, to get very, very active in trying to reduce gun violence in his community and throughout this country, if not the entire country. Annie Hornish is with us. She is the leader of the Connecticut Humane Society. And both of them have been energized by the killing of Bobby the Bear, a story that gripped Connecticut for the fact that this bear that had been so well known to the community that it actually had a name, Bobby, and was tagged and everybody knew Bobby, was killed in the backyard while allegedly going for chickens. And she was killed by a police officer. There was an investigation of the police officer. The state's attorney's office recently said there was no reason to criminally prosecute him. But in the meantime, two little baby bear cubs were left motherless, and it wasn't immediately apparent that the state was going to do anything about those cubs, except that there was a very energized electorate that pushed some pressure on Deep to get those baby bears to a good rehab facility. Joining us now to tell the story, and apparently to tell the ongoing story, is Dave Ackert, our Dave Ackert and Annie Hornish. Dave and Annie, welcome to the show. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
Good morning. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. And whoever is doing clattering in the background, please stop, because it's distracting me. Somebody is trying to multitask. And you know what? Even I cannot multitask on my own show. So, Dave and Annie, hello and welcome. First of all, David, let me ask you something. You got my attention because you said, well, let me backtrack. David, what do you know based on this report? What do you know happened that day? What do you know? What do we know, according to the investigators, happened that day?
Okay, so a lot happened that day, but the bottom line, and these are all what came out when the shooter and his family were interviewed by the state conservation police at the Department of Environmental Protection. Apparently, this Bobby the Bear had paid a visit a couple of days before the shooting, and the homeowner, who, yes, is an off-duty Ridgefield police sergeant, found some missing chickens and some chicken feathers in his yard. And, you know, assumed that Bobby, who has been nearby with her cubs, was guilty, was able to scare Bobby away that day. But 2 days later, the grandson was playing in the yard with the child's father nearby, and they saw a bear looking in their direction from the woods. The shooter homeowner went into his home, retrieved his AR-15 with a 30-round high-capacity magazine attached, put a bullet in the chamber, and proceeded for over an hour to confront and antagonize this bear to get it to leave the property. And his story is that it left repeatedly, continued to stay around the property line. I guess bears are now surveyors and understand where property lines are. And it wasn't until the bear was close to his chicken coop that he approached it, getting within 15 to 17 feet in his estimation, when he fired off 7 shots from his AR-15. So that's his story. The other thing that he admitted in an interview was that he made a mistake by picking up 6 of the 7 spent shells, used bullets from the ground before investigators arrived. So, you know, I could go on with more stuff, but we should probably unpack those things. First, he had over an hour where he could have stayed in the house and called authorities to come, you know, the experts to come and deal with this bear that supposedly was scaring his family. and harassing his chickens. But he didn't. His wife, who called the EEP after the bear was shot, made a false report that the bear attacked her grandson and that she instructed her husband to go outside and shoot the bear. So, you know, just in the last minute, I just told you a whole bunch of disturbing things that a lot of people find troubling and blows our mind how the state attorney, assistant state attorney in Danbury, who is now retired, who is about to retire days after getting this report, just rubber stamped it and said, yep, nope, fine, whatever you say, DEP, he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. Hi, Annie Hornish. So, Dave, let me talk to you first and then Annie. Dave, what do you think he did wrong? In other words, based upon your reading as a layman of the statute and based upon your understanding of the circumstances, what was done wrong here?
Well, you know, for me, this is a story about accountability. And I strongly believe that if we have laws, they ought to be enforced, and they ought to be enforced equally. You know, if you shoot a gun within 500 feet of another building, whether you're shooting a handgun in downtown Bridgeport or shooting an AR-15 in Newtown, it's illegal. You can't do it. This guy was 309 feet, according to the investigation, from his neighboring property. His neighbors are terrified. They found blood splatter in their yard. By the way, of the seven shots he fired supposedly from 15 to 17 feet away from the bear, only three of them touched the bear. Two of them were grazing shots. One was a kill shot. That means four high-capacity or high-velocity shots from an AR-15 missed their target and went into the neighbor's yard, presumably. So that's first and foremost. He violated state and local gun ordinances and laws by just pulling the trigger there. Now, there's an exception. If your life is in danger and it's self-defense and you have no other remedy, you know, that's an exception to the law. But by nature of some of the things I told you before, this clearly was not self-defense. It was premeditated. And, you know, especially as a police officer, he should have known better.
Thank you, Dave. We're chatting with Dave Ackert and Annie Hornish. 203-333-3942 is our number. Annie Hornish, you're with the Connecticut State Humane Society. Tell me your point of view on all of this.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Yes, I'm with the Humane Society of the United States. I'm the Connecticut State Director, and I'm hearing this is probably one of the biggest issues I'm hearing from our supporters in the state. They're perplexed as to how this report turned out this way. Dave summarized some of the problems very well, so I won't repeat that, but we have concerns that there were crimes that we feel were clearly committed and he's not being charged with them. The imminent harm, he ran back into the house to get the weapon. There was no imminent harm. It was an illegal kill. Gun laws were violated, possibly tampering with evidence because he removed the six or seven rounds and interfering with an investigation, something a police officer should know. The fact that this police officer, Sergeant Clark, appears to be being given special treatment is problematic. And I say that because a Thomaston, Connecticut man was convicted and fined for shooting a bear under similar circumstances. And he felt his dog was threatened. And he ran back into the house, got a gun, killed a bear, and was convicted properly, as he should have been. We also have concerns about how the necropsy, it was incomplete. It didn't include an analysis of the stomach contents, which would have corroborated whether or not chickens, or may have corroborated whether Sergeant Clark's claims that chickens were killed recently by Bobby actually happened. And instead, on the necropsy report, it says that they gave Bobby's body the meat and the pelt were given away, is how it is on the report. And we're concerned that, you know, we're inquiring as to where that body, Bobby's body went, because it should not go to the person who killed her. That is a roundabout way to promote trophy hunting. Frankly, you don't give the body back to the person. He should not have received it if it was the killer.
Where
Lisa, so, I'd just like to point out, even if they were able to prove Bobby had killed chickens, that does not justify shooting a bear. That's against state law, and it more importantly would point out irresponsibility on the owner of the chickens for failing to secure those chickens.
And actually, in the report itself, Sergeant Clark admits that he has a long history of not adequately protecting his chickens. And he wrote that, he said that it was quoted that every summer that they would start with 14 chickens, and by summer's end, they'd have six or seven left, and that a fox would get the chickens. So he knew there was a problem with predators. And he, in effect, was baiting, in the act of baiting by attracting predators to his chickens. He did not properly protect them. This was completely preventable.
We're talking with Annie Cornish of the Humane Society of the United States Connecticut chapter and Dave Ackert. Let's go to one. You know what? Let's do this. It's just about 10 minutes before the hour. Stay with us. We have a caller who'd like to chat with you, and we'll get more information about this letter. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be right back.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You have the kind of show where you always learn more from it after you hear it.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
We are chatting about the Bobby the Bear story, which is not over because a letter to the state's attorney's office now has over 300 signatures, including some prominent legislators who are adding their names to a request to reconsider the decision that basically closed the case of the killing of Bobby the Bear. We're on the air with Annie Hornish of the Connecticut Humane Society. Annie, it says here, Connecticut Humane Society. I want to get this right, but you identified yourself with the Humane Society of the United States. I just want to make sure I get this right.
Correct. It is the Humane Society of the United States. We don't have any affiliation with Connecticut Humane Society.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I guess my show prep was a little off. I appreciate
name.
That. Okay. And Dave Ackert, one of the founders of the Newtown Action Alliance. George from Milford, do you have a question or a comment for these guests? Go ahead, please.
Basically, I have a comment. You know, why do we have these? I mean, I'm a big game hunter. I have guns. Why do we have laws if they only apply to some people, not the others? There was no reason for him to kill that bear. I mean, he did totally everything illegal, you know, and I just don't understand why the governor hasn't stepped in and said something, make some noise about this. You want these laws and everything with guns. He fires that dangerous weapon, and I know it's dangerous because I've got rifles myself within distance of a house. One of those bullets could have got through and killed somebody. All right, then it would be a different story. But just because nothing happened, he's going to skate, mainly probably because he's a cop. And I mean, I have a lot of respect for the police officers. This guy needs to be charged. And the state's attorney general, just fire. Don't fire him. Fire him. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Thank you for the call. Comment,
Dave? I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with everything George said. When the sergeant was questioned in an interview as to why he chose his AR-15 to confront the bear, his response was because it's his security blanket, A, and B, because it is the weapon he is most proficient with since he trains with it at work. So this is one of the quote unquote good guys with a gun that we hear about all the time, who's, you know, with a very dangerous weapon. In fact, it's the same style weapon that was used in Uvalde in that horrific mass shooting, where almost 400 police officers who were armed with the same type of weapon were afraid of the one guy with that weapon. So yes, this guy chose this weapon because it's the one he was best with, yet only one, arguably three, of the seven shots he took from 15 feet away hit the bear. So And the fact is, even police officers, the statistics of when there's a police-involved shooting, over 50% of the shots these highly trained professionals fire miss their target. So shooting up, that's why we have a law that says you can't shoot within 500 feet of another building, any gun, let alone one of these guns.
And is that, by the way, is that a state law? Is that a state law or a Newtown ordinance?
Well, it's both. That is one thing both laws have in common.
Okay. Because I remember many years ago when I first moved to town in Weston, somebody was shooting in Weston and it got into the window of a baby's room and grazed the top of the crib. I'll never forget that headline. Bullet comes into bedroom, grazes the top of a crib. I thought my heart would stop. And I remember, and this was a long time ago, and I remember, I think it was after that, that Connecticut passed these laws and local people said, hey, wait a minute. You know, we're more dense than we used to be, and we have to make sure that guns cannot be within X amount of distance of a neighborhood dwelling. It was a very common sense thing.
Exactly. You
know? And it was an accident. You know, nobody meant to shoot inside that house. It was an accident, but somebody was hunting, and it was too close to a residence.
Mm-hmm. Well, and back to George's question, let's not kid ourselves. If this person gets arrested, and even those that have gotten arrested properly, they're not going to jail. This is a $100 fine and maybe probation, and maybe he loses his guns or he has to go get retrained to use them. So it's a slap on the wrist, but instead, by giving him a pat on the back, DEP is sending an extremely dangerous message to anybody else who owns guns and sees wildlife in the woods behind their house.
I see. I get it. So let's talk a little bit. We've only got a minute. You have this letter, and apparently you've been gathering signatures for it. If the public wants to see the letter and add their signatures, are you asking that they do so, or have you closed that aspect of this?
Annie, you want to take that?
Well, sure. Well,
very quick, Annie. Go ahead.
Sure. We're going to get a letter to the Office of the Chief State's Attorney out today, and then we may we'll post a link later and send addended names if people want to add to the list. But right now, we're going to move forward with what we have. We feel we have plenty of names right now to get the ball rolling and make the request.
I hope that you'll keep us in touch with the progress on this matter. Annie Cornish and Dave Acker, thank you for coming on the show today. I'm Lisa Wexler. Stay tuned to the next live hour of the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.